our podcast is too important. We must get rid of our dog. He's making toenail noises on the hardwood.
Oscar, sit down, buddy.
I put the sound foam out so he could lay on it. Hello.
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 Hi.
Do, 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 do. Hey, hey, welcome back.
Hi.
It's time for another podcast episode. I'm Ryan.
I'm Ashley, and you are listening to Believe the Lie, our X-Files podcast.
Each week we review the most recent episode of the season 11 reboot of the X-Files.
And this is season 11, episode 2.
This episode?
This.
The name of the episode was This. Yeah, and it was awesome. It was like a super excellent, well done episode. We're so thrilled. It gives us a lot of energy and enthusiasm. We and have a lot to talk about. We always try to get this to about 20 minutes, but we're going to maybe go over. We got so much to talk about.
Such a good episode, you guys. We were not super thrilled with the entirety of season 10, as you know, and definitely not thrilled with the first episode of 11. And man, I think three or four times during watching this, we looked at each other and we're like, this is so good. This is so good. I'm so excited. So that's different.
Yeah, we sat like a foot in front of the TV just staring at it while all the food in the kitchen burned.
Yeah, not
yeah, dinner did
wrong.
Not go so well, but the episode went
really well. The episode was amazing. Yeah. Let's start really quickly with a reminder that this is a very, very spoiler heavy episode. We are going to be talking about all sorts of things. If you have not seen this episode, pause, go watch it, and come back.
Okay. That being said, on with episode grades. Ashley, episode grade for season 11, episode 2 of The X-Files. What would you give it?
An A. There's nothing else to give it. An A for awesome.
Nice. I'm kind of an A-minus territory. Mm-hmm. I felt really good about it. I don't think it was a home run, but I thought it was an excellent episode. I loved it from beginning to end.
So one of the things we should probably start with is talking about the writer of the episode, Glenn Morgan. He's one of our favorites, and he wrote several of our favorite episodes, particularly in season one. It seemed like his stuff was really great. So he wrote Squeeze, featuring Eugene Toombs, one of the creepiest characters ever.
But a great episode.
So wonderful.
Phenomenal episode, yeah.
He wrote Ice, where you have the alien parasite that takes over, and it felt very much like a movie. He wrote Beyond the Sea, where Scully has this psychic connection with a man named Boggs, and it's excellent. Her father also passes away during that.
And that's the episode where it starts off with her dad dying in the armchair, right?
Yes.
Yeah. That's a great one.
It's so good. There are songs and images that show up throughout. It's just a very well done episode. And
of course, EBE, which is where we first learn of the
Lone Gunmen, my favorite characters on the X-Files.
Yeah, and the Lone Gunmen have been around for a long time. They've been in almost every season of The X-Files since the first one.
Starting in season one.
They're long-term characters. They're a blast to watch. But give us a little bit of the history, Ashley, because you like them so much. I think you can explain their background a little better than I can.
Well, I hate to be painted as an expert because there's quite a lot of content. But one of the things that I think is most important about the Lone Gunmen is that they are incredibly intelligent. They are social outcasts, and they have come through to help Mulder in several episodes in really big ways. So they're very charming, and they're always on the verge of uncovering some sort of huge governmental conspiracy.
And they have a conspiracy newspaper.
Yes.
That they release, and it's called The Lone Gunman. And yeah, and I think they actually, when did they die? Was it season 8?
Season 9.
Season 9, okay.
In an episode called Jumping the Shark, which
is funny.
The entirety of season 9 was Jumping the Shark. Right. So I've always loved that nod to acknowledgement of what's happening at that point in the show.
Yeah, and they've lived on in other ways. There's a comic book spinoff, and they had some more adventures through that. They had a separate TV show. And so it's really fun. It's fun for me to see them introduced here in season 11 again. And there has to be a special place in Glenn Morgan's heart for the Lone Gunman. He created them. He wrote this this most recent episode. And so this is his opportunity to kind of send them off and kind of close the story. I do think a lot of people wondered maybe they actually survived and they didn't actually die in season 8. But this I think this confirms that they died. And it's a great way for Glamorgan to kind of give them that final write-off, especially Langley, who I think is, for most people, their favorite character.
Definitely my favorite. So when I started watching the promos for this season, I saw a flash of what I thought was Langley, and I was incredibly hopeful that that was, in fact, what I was seeing. And so I was thrilled. And I'm sure there is information about him coming back out on the web. But again, we tried to just stick with promos as we started to get ready to watch. So I think a couple of other interesting things for me about this episode, in addition to the fact that Langley was back and played a huge role and it was very interesting, were all of the Easter eggs that they stuck in for seasoned fans. One of the biggest criticisms of the first episode of 11, season 11, was that it seems that Chris Carter is writing for new fans and kind of ignoring old fans. And it did not feel that way with this episode.
Yeah. And the Ramones, the band, played a huge role in this episode. The episode opened up with the assassins heading towards Mulder and Scully in their home.
With Ramones playing in the background.
With the Ramones playing in the background. There was like the, we had to look this up. It was the 1979 Ramones concert that was playing on the TV that was in front of Mulder and Scully when they were sleeping on the couch.
Mm-hmm.
And whose favorite band?
Langley's.
Yeah. So Langley always had the
little bit of foreshadowing
Ramones t-shirt on, and as a big part of his character. I think he quoted him often.
Mm-hmm.
Great way to like kind of introduce him again and what he loved and who he was.
We also loved the shot right at the beginning of the sunflower seed sitting on the table, which was just, again, for old fans, a Mulder staple. One thing we did notice that was interesting in this first section, though, was the shot of the lone gunman that we've seen many times before, the three of them, but with the addition of another character. I didn't see this. Ryan actually is the one that caught it and had me pause it.
Actually, I didn't even notice till we watched it
the second time.
But it's pretty obvious. There's two shots of the photo on like Mulder's desk, and there's a fourth face in the photo in the background. So I'll put it in the show notes, but I read a great article about what that face is, and I'm pretty sure this is what it is. It's someone called This Man. And this is kind of a weird internet conspiracy theory. And if you go to thisman.org, you can kind of read about it. We think
it's
that's
freaky.
What it's really freaky. And I think that's what the face is. So it's totally disconnected from like the X-Files universe. It's this whole separate conspiracy. It's sort of this myth that when people dream, there's this face that's constantly showing up in all of our dreams all over the world overnight. When people are dreaming, they all see the same face over and over in recurring dreams. A lot of people have sketched out the shape of this face, what this man looks like, and a lot of people have reported seeing the same face. People that have never met, people that swear they've never seen a face like this, they all see the same face in their dreams. And so this website is kind of gone out into the world and is collecting these shared experiences of seeing this face in their dreams. So I don't know why that face is in the photo of the lone gunman. It's very, very strange.
Never been there before.
Never
from
been
what
there
we
before.
Can see.
So it could be X-Files' way of kind of giving a nod to like modern day weird urban legend conspiracies. It also could be their way of saying this is actually a dreamlike world, because this man shows up in dreamlike worlds.
And he serves in some people's dreams from what we researched as a protector, as a guide, as a guardian. But in some cases, he is a murderer. So it depends on who's dreaming this man. But one of our theories was that they are playing with reality. They're presenting to us that season 10, episode 6 didn't happen and is a hallucination. But one of our theories was that perhaps that's not accurate because the characters were kind of off in 11-1. So who knows? Maybe this is something that we're going to see more of, and we're going to realize that perhaps Mulder and Scully are in a dreamlike state, just like Langley was. And if they were planning on introducing that twist, this episode would be a great place and way to do that. Whether that's just a little Easter egg, whether that is a hint to things that are coming later in the season, we personally loved the reappearance of Langley. We thought it was well done. We thought it was interesting. As one of my favorite characters, I was so thrilled to see him. We were really, really pleased with that. It was well done, well written. We were so happy.
On a less conspiratorial note, there was a ton of really fun kind of classic, what felt to me like classic X-Files humor.
Yes.
Great jokes. Not all of it was like roll on the ground funny, but it was the humor was really true to their characters. That's how I felt.
It did feel true, and it felt lighthearted. Maybe they're not all funny, haha, but they're all humorous in the way that a lot of the Monster of the Week episodes have always been. The things that come to mind, of course, would be Mulder making a joke that they need to go to IKEA as soon as all their furniture is destroyed, or Scully making the joke about, why are you so good at operating with your hands behind your back? And he turns around and says, like, you don't know. Those kinds of things showed up throughout most of the X-File seasons previous.
Or when Mulder wanted to open an X-File on his brand muffin.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, that kind of stuff really helps round off the characters, because they were, throughout all of the seasons, they had a really unique sense of humor, and it was different to each of them.
And Scully was always very serious, mm-hmm. but she always had a very cynical and sarcastic side to her, and a very humorous side that I miss seeing, and that didn't show up much in 8 and 9, and didn't see as much in 10 either. So it was lovely to see it again.
Yeah. And Mulder's always been kind of creepy. His humor's always been kind of pervy. So.
Oh yeah. But Mulder is David Duchovny inspired, I think.
Yeah,
I think totally. He's a little raunchy.
One thing that talking about character, one thing that Scully did, which was interesting, and I don't know if we need to spend a ton of time on it, but she referenced Skinner by his first name, Walter.
I've never heard her do that before. At least I don't remember it.
No, she maybe at some point, but she hardly ever has done that. So that has to be a little bit of a power play, or maybe her way of signaling to him that she doesn't trust him could be like a disjointed reality thing.
Or a way for her to remind him that they are close. We're referencing, of course, the fact that Skinner and Mulder and Scully seem to be on the outs. And when Mulder and Scully attempt to go back to the X-Files building, or excuse me, the FBI building to get their X-Files, Skinner's there waiting for mm-hmm. them, and they pull guns on each other, and it's very tense. So that will be interesting to see how that plays out. But it did lead us to figure out that the X-Files are now
digital.
Yep. They've been
digitized.
Digitized, uploaded.
Yeah.
Which we thought was an interesting update.
And there's a lot of fun ways that X-Files is bringing modern day technology and events into the show, as you know, I mean, the show's been going on 20 years.
Yes.
So, and they've always done a good job of sort of writing off of kind of modern day political stuff or conspiracies or whatever.
Yeah. And they've never shied away from political commentary. So I've seen several people talking online on comment boards about mm-hmm. like, oh, it's so political now. Stop it. We don't do that. We don't need that. X-Files never did that. Oh, it did. It very much did. So when Skinner makes a comment about the FBI's reputation not being great right now, talking about private security companies or Russia's involvement in things, it feels very much like the old conspiracy episodes.
Yeah, totally. And it's to be expected. I think whether you like the actual existing political climate or not, I think X-Files has always done a good job of bringing that into the episode. So it's fitting that they would do it now. Whether you like the specific jokes or not, they've always sort of done it. You know, it was even fun to see Mulder and Scully in like an internet cafe.
Yeah.
Because they're older now, and I think maybe they were doing that out of safety. I don't know. Maybe their cell phones.
They couldn't
go get their cell phones. But
they are home.
But it is fitting for their characters to be sitting like in an internet cafe. It just kind of creates a fun nostalgic effect of what the show used to be. Is if they find themselves in situations where they're doing what they used to do just, you know, 10 years ago.
Along with the sort of connection to modern day political events, one of our main criticisms has been that the attempts to modernize the show have not been incredibly effective until this episode. One of the things I enjoyed was the action sequences.
I don't know if that's stunt doubles or better choreographers, but it was pretty cool. There was a really good shot of Scully flipping over a table and
after sliding
underneath it. She kind of slid on the floor, hit the counter on the other side, like stopped herself with her. It just looked super cool. Even the gunfighting was really neat, where Mulder shot the guy, and a gun would never make somebody fly backwards like that. But
no, but we liked it.
But it just looked super cool.
When I know, and as we were rewatching the old seasons, in preparation for episode season 10 to come out, so many times we would look at each other and said, they're so mean to their stunt doubles. So I loved that continued. I think that was old X-Files, it felt. The lighting, too, in addition to the action sequence. Ryan, you're going to be better speaking about this than I am. The lighting.
The lighting wasn't anything like really special. You know, that's not going to win any awards, but they have modernized some of the lighting techniques in the show, which I love seeing. However, there also are, at least like looking at the cinematography of it, I'm going to get nerdy, so you can ignore me if this isn't your thing, but the scene in the graveyard, some of the shots they chose in the graveyard, especially at the end, there's a really nice crane shot at the end. Those sorts of shots don't find themselves in modern TV anymore. So not only the lighting, but occasionally they'll choose a shot that is a little nostalgic to the old show while keeping sort of modern pacing and kind of sequencing of shots. So there are times when it feels really modern to me. And sometimes that's negative, sometimes it's positive. And there are times when it feels like the old X-Files, when they have these giant cranes and really nice spooky graveyards. And so it's nice to see a mix of both. But this episode did a good job of balancing it. So again, probably not going to win any awards, but really great looking visuals, some really striking shots. So overall, like visually, really cool episode.
And one of the interesting things to me is that so many people have been unhappy with the lighting. They're saying it's too dark and things like that. And maybe it is, as far as modern audiences are concerned. But man, a lot of it feels, at least in this past episode, like old X-Files. One thing we were pleased to see, I think, was the inclusion of Deep Throat. He was sort of the initial person who helped set Mulder on the path of beginning to figure out the conspiracy that we are still trying to get answers for. So Deep Throat was in season one, and then, as I recall, was killed in season two, episode one.
Yes. It might have been the very end of season one.
I'm IMDb that real quick.
Yeah. The magic of podcasting is we're going to cut this and then we'll cut straight back to Ashley answering. Ready?
Like I know everything. IMDb revealed that it looks like at the end of season one, Deep Throat was killed. He actually shows up again throughout the show a few times, sort of as a specter, a memory. once when Mulder's in the sweat lodge, weird, wonderful episode. So good. Yeah. So Deep Throat was a really hugely important part of the show. So the fact that he was back, he was in the EBE episode written by Glenn Morgan. Mm-hmm. Again, not surprised if he was going to bring Langley back. He would also want to bring back Deep Throat in this way.
And Deep Throat was really Mulder's first informant, was the one that gave validity to kind of Mulder's paranoia.
He was the only one. And at that time, even Scully didn't believe Mulder. Season one, Scully sent in to defraud Mulder and the X-Files. And in comes Deep Throat, a high ranking person who not only believes him, but points him in the direction of many of the things that we're still trying to unravel right now.
And crazy, we don't actually ever know his name. He's only known under the code name Deep Throat until this episode, when finally it's revealed what his full name is, and it's Ronald Pakula. So I just on a whim Googled it, and I'm not going to take credit for this, but there's a great article on The Wrap, therap.com, and I'll put it in the show notes. But basically, this is a super, super hidden Easter egg. The code name Deep Throat referenced Watergate.
Yes.
Right? That was pretty obvious. But the Pakula, that last name of Ronald Pakula, the director of the 1976 film All the President's Men, the director of that film, his last name was Pakula. So same last name as Deep Throat. That has to be a deep, deep Easter egg about real life American conspiracies. So I don't know for what that's worth. That's Glenn Morgan going to pretty great lengths to sneak little things into this episode of The X-Files, which really, as you pull back the layers of this, really makes it fun to talk about on the podcast.
It does. And I think that's why I gave the episode an A, even though there were a couple of problems. I think that the level of depth of writing and thought and Glenn Morgan seems to have been able to pull together something. He tie together loose ends, on a show he hasn't written for like 20 years, much more effectively than Chris Carter has. He has honored the characters that he wrote and helped develop. He has honored the story. He has honored the feel of the original show while keeping it modern. I think He's a great writer, and I find myself wishing that he had not stopped writing X-Files episodes after season four. We only had maybe one or two in season four, and then that was it until season 10 and 11. So I'm glad he's back. He doesn't look like he's writing anymore this season.
And he's in his 70s, isn't he? Glenn Morgan?
I believe so. Yeah. I believe he is not incredibly young.
Yeah. Yeah. Well.
But I love that. I love what he did with this episode.
Yeah, me too. I mean, it really felt like a good balance of old school X-Files. I mean, the writing was great. The characters seemed true. The action sequences, the lighting, the Easter eggs. It was filled with so many Easter eggs. It had just the perfect amount of mythology sprinkled in my opinion. It really was just a delightful episode.
I saw someone online call it a mythology of the week episode, and I loved I like that. I thought that was so cute.
Yeah, that's fun. Cool. Okay, so we're going to end the show here, but we're going to talk about one last thing. And it was a title that came up at the end of the opening credits. And it was Accuse Your Enemies of That Which You Aren't Guilty.
So we normally see the truth is out there. They've changed both thus far. I'm hoping that doesn't actually become a consistent thing simply because it happened maybe six times in the entire run of the show. We're not exactly sure what that means since that phrase. No, we're not.
We've talked about it.
Has very little inherent meaning in it. The only thing I could find was that this is apparently something that is credited or miscredited to Joseph Goebbels, spoken in 1934 at Nuremberg, and pretty wrapped up in Nazi propaganda and used as a way to sort of point at other people doing the terrible things that the Nazis were actually advocating that they do.
Right. And he was like a minister of propaganda for the Nazi Party.
Yes.
And he's quoted with saying those exact words. I'm not sure how true that actually is.
From what I could tell, but it's misquoted to him.
Perception's reality at this point, so.
Well, and wasn't that one of the titles that they gave us at some point? Perception is reality. I believe maybe we read that one, so.
Well, and this may just be a little bit of a nod to kind of fake news in the current political climate, but who knows? Who knows?
And it could be, again, this was very much the conspiracy episode. This could be a nod to the fact that there were so many conspiracy theories, so many conspiracy theorists. Maybe it felt appropriate with the lone gunman. Maybe it means more. Do you know more about it? Tell us. Email us. Yeah. Facebook. Us.
We're going to put our email in the show notes. So if you have a good theory on this, or you have questions, or you totally disagree with something weird or dumb we said, feel free to let us know. We'd love to hear from you. It's always fun to get comments from people who are out there listening. So,
absolutely.
Okay, we're going to wrap up. Enjoy episode 3.
It looks to be a good one.
It does. As always, thanks so much for listening. Subscribe, review us. We're just thrilled with the amount of listens we're getting. And so we'll keep doing this show. So expect episode 3 from us.
Yes, absolutely. We'll see you soon.
All right. See ya.
The truth is out there.
Oh, it sure is.